This is Family Policy Matters. This program is produced by the North Carolina Family Policy Council, a pro-family research and education organization dedicated to strengthening and preserving the family. And now from the studio, here's John Rustin, president of the North Carolina Family Policy Council.
Thank you for joining us this week for Family Policy Matters. It is our pleasure to have Meg McDonald with us on the program. Meg is Executive Director of the Chiaroscuro Institute and Communications Director for Women Speak for Themselves. She is also co-founder and senior editor of I Believe in Love. In 2011, Meg was a recipient of a full-time Robert Novak Fellowship for a project titled Marriage and Young Adults, Understanding the Struggle to Get to I Do. Her writing has appeared in the Washington Post, National Review Online, The Public Discourse, Verily Magazine, and other secular and religious news outlets. And we're going to be talking today with Meg about millennials, or young adults under 30, who are getting married, staying married, and having children in fewer numbers than ever before. We'll also talk about a very unique and important project Meg co-founded that is helping to rebuild the marriage culture among this generation. Meg, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Thanks so much, John. I'm glad to be with you.
Well, Meg, as we begin, for the benefit of our listeners, I'd appreciate it if you would just take a moment to tell us about the Chiaroscuro Institute and your mission.
Sure, absolutely. So we are a somewhat new organization, a couple years old, and our mission is to kind of relink sex, marriage, and children and the minds and behaviors of all people, but particularly working class or poor young adults who have really struggled with this rise of non-marital pregnancies, this non-marriage rate, divorce, those types of trends. And so we're really using communications and then also legal efforts to try and help bolster a stronger marriage culture for the working class and the poorer demographics.
Well, that is great, and that's an extremely important mission, without a doubt. Now, let's talk, Meg, about I Believe in Love, which is the website you co-founded, because it really sets up our conversation about millennials. Tell us, if you would, about I Believe in Love, the purpose of the website, and who is your target audience?
I Believe in Love is a storytelling website that's for young adults and it's by young adults. And our tagline is real people, real stories, real love. What we're trying to do at I Believe in Love is invite young adults, particularly the target audience would be working class or poor young adults who often struggle to understand love, what makes love last. They have a lot of fear of marriage. They have a lot of fear of their ability to sustain a marriage because they've grown up in a lot of turmoil related to marriage. And so we invite them to tell their stories about their dating lives, about their own relationships, maybe about past experiences and their own family, as a way to give voice to this demographic and to also kind of connect them to each other and give them hope.
Well, that's great. Now, I know, as you say, you're targeting young adults in the lower middle class. How would you define the lower middle class, and why are you targeting really this segment of the population in particular?
The lower middle class was defined most prominently those who have graduated high school but have not gotten a four-year bachelor's degree. So they might have a two-year vocational degree from a community college or a trade school or an apprenticeship. They might not have any college experience, and they might have gone straight into the workforce, places like factories or nursing homes or retail or service industry. And the reason we're targeting this demographic is that they're a demographic that's very much falling through the cracks as far as institutional support and trust. They're not the poorest of the poor. They're not going to college and benefiting from the supports that college affords young adults. And so we're kind of trying to give them a place that can connect them to institutions, places like churches or psychologists or different, you know, services that might help them, but as well as connect them to each other and help them build friendship and community.
Well, I think that community element is so important. Now, Meg, you've written previously about I Believe in Love and the themes that really get to the heart of the message that you want to give to young adults about love and marriage. Describe, if you would, what those themes are and why they are particularly important for millennials and those within the kind of the target demographic that you're seeking to reach.
Another key reason why we're trying to reach this target demographic is because they are experiencing the highest rates of non-marital pregnancies and really struggling to get to marriage. So they very much value children and they value parenting, which is something that they see as really meaningful in their lives. But they're not always connecting the importance of a mom and a dad being in the home for their kids, even though they wish, many of them didn't have that growing up and wish they would have had that. So we're trying to help direct them towards healthier relationships, steps, if you will, the ways that they can have better relationships for themselves, for their children, ideally holding off to have children until they get inside marriage. But we also want to give them hope that marriage and lasting love is possible, whether you have kids outside of marriage or you haven't had kids, whether you grew up in a divorce home or you grew up not knowing one of your parents, those sorts of things. We want to give young adults hope. We want to give them a sense that they're not alone in this journey and in this struggle, and a sense that while it might seem insurmountable, some of these things, that it's possible and that there's people that want to support them along the way.
Well, clearly the research shows that millennials are cohabiting more and also delaying marriage more. Meg, based on your research, what are some of the reasons for this apparent reluctance among millennials to get married? Do millennials, generally speaking, want to be married? And if so, what is holding them back, in your opinion?
So if you look at survey data from multiple different places, Pew, the federal government that does surveys, and high schools, millennials still say, 80% of them still say that lifelong marriage is an important goal of theirs. So they absolutely still do want to get married. You know, some of their biggest reluctance are kind of lack of models and the fear that because their parents never got married or their parents' marriage wasn't successful, and for some of these young adults, no one in their communities' marriages were successful except for maybe their grandparents. They just don't know if marriage even lasts anymore. And if it doesn't last, how, like, why would I enter into it? They do have a great reverence for that. If I get married, I want marriage to be forever. But I don't know how to make marriage forever. There's been, you know, the soulmate theory, this idea that, like, love is this feeling and that, you know, when the feeling's gone, then maybe you're not supposed to be together anymore. That, you know, that has a strong presence among most millennials. And so they miss out on understanding that, you know, love changes. That, yes, sometimes you're going to feel butterflies, but sometimes you're not going to feel butterflies, but you still are going to be in love, and that's okay. And then I also think, you know, as a society, we've moved from this idea of marriage as formative and a part of, you know, taking a step into adulthood to marriage as a capstone, as a lot of researchers say. This idea that you need to first, you know, go to school and get a job and have money and maybe even, you know, have a home and have your whole life, like, settled before you get married. So there's a lot at play, but those are some of the main reasons that we've seen in our work.
Well, I know on the website that you address a number of issues, including delaying sex until marriage, concerns and problems about cohabitation, and the issues of divorce. What are some of the other key issues that you try to address, and how do you approach them in a way that really relates to young adults and, again, this demographic that you're targeting?
I think that, you know, to the relates question, which then jumps into some other issues, the storytelling really helps because these are real young adults talking about their real experiences. And so, you know, they tend to say things that then their friends or their peers are, oh, I totally know what you're saying. I've been there too. Or, oh, that helps me understand why my buddy over here says this all the time. He must have similar experience to you. So a great example of this is a young man who writes at our site, How Love Conquered Meth. And before he committed to his now fiance and the mother of his child, he was doing meth very seriously and very regularly. And when his fiance, who was his girlfriend at the time, learned this, she kind of was like, yeah, it's me or the drugs. I don't do that. And he was feeling that his love with her had brought back a sense of meaning that made him not want to do drugs. And so he got clean and he committed to her. And he's written, you know, several different articles about, you know, the process of getting clean, the struggle, the times he's been tempted to go back, the times that it's been hard to, you know, conquer this habit. And he's gotten, you know, some really fascinating comments from people who are saying, I hope that I have a story similar to yours someday. Thanks for sharing. Or this really helps me in my situation. You know, thank you. And so that really, you know, stories like that, because it's real and it's raw and it's vulnerable, you know, for him, for this writer, Tyler, you know, he'll say, I made a difference, and that keeps me going because I'm helping someone. And so it gives him the sense of purpose and the sense of mission to stay clean. But it also hopefully helps other young adults realize there's good reasons to, you know, related to love and related to dating, to stay away from drugs, as an example. So topics like, you know, overcoming drugs, topics of like how work can help give you a stable life. Just even basics like, here's some basic dating tips. You know, where should you go on a date, or what should you expect on a first date? What types of questions should you ask? Those types of things we cover as well.
Well, I know that having worked in the public policy arena, in the political arena for years, that clearly you can debate the merits of issues and those types of things. But when you're telling a personal story, and we find it so effective when individuals come to the legislature, for example, and give a testimony on a piece of legislation and say, look, this is why this is so important, because this is my story about this issue. Here's what this means to me. You really can't debate that. I mean, someone is expressing their life experience, and in doing so, it provides a lot of legitimacy for what they're saying. And I think that the fact that I Believe in Love website is really a storytelling website. It allows people to develop community and to tell their stories and hopefully impact other people. It would seem that when individuals tell their stories, not only can they have impact on others, but that storytelling and the just kind of the raw exposure of their feelings and their experiences to others can help provide an element of healing for them. Have you seen that sort of thing happen as people engage in this community, as they share their stories, that it really leads to a sense of healing in their own lives?
Absolutely. It's one of the reasons why we kind of set out to have this be a writing service. You know, we've seen writers who start with us and, you know, they're writing what they're feeling at the time, but what they're feeling is maybe not digging at the depths of their fears or their depths of their struggles. And then the more that they write, the more that they identify how it is they're thinking about things or how they're feeling about things. One writer I can think of, Brittany, has been writing with us since the site launched. She's had several moments of revelation where she'll talk about, you know, I used to think that love was this, and she'll cite, you know, an old article. Or, you know, she first started writing, she was cohabiting. And through writing and through thinking more intentionally about her relationship, she got to a point where she recently was in a relationship, and the guy asked her to move in, and she said, you know what? No, I've done that before and it hasn't worked. And unless you mean marriage, no, that doesn't work for me. And they broke up as a result of that. But she turned to us and she said, you know, if it wasn't for I Believe in Love and the opportunities I've had to think about these things and the voice that I Believe in Love gives to consider it a different way, I probably would have moved in with them, because in the past, that's what I did. And then one more thing I'll say is that, you know, no one would deny we live in a very noisy culture and we take very little time to stop and think, really think and reflect. And young adults especially, who are always on Facebook, always on Twitter, always texting, you know, there's always something that they're communicating with. To have them say, can spend some time writing an article about dating, or about your fears about marriage, or about how your parents' marriage has affected your understanding of marriage. You know, very few people in their life are asking them these questions and giving them a forum to really think about their own lives. And that has a healing effect as well.
Well, that's great. Just an opportunity for especially millennials to come together to share their stories, as you have talked about, and to have an impact on others. So what an incredible ministry. Meg, unfortunately, we're out of time for this week, but I do want to give you an opportunity to let our listeners know where they can go to learn more about I Believe in Love.
Absolutely. Our website is very easy to remember. It's www.ibelieveinlove.com. And there's information if you want to write for us. There's links to our Facebook page and our Twitter page if you want to follow along. And you can even sign up for an email newsletter where you can get all the articles emailed to you at the end of the week.
Excellent. Well, Meg McDonald, I want to thank you so much for sharing your insights on millennials and love with us, and for the important work that you're doing at ibelieveinlove.com.
Thank you so much for having me on the show, John. I really enjoyed it.
Family Policy Matters is an information and analysis feature of the North Carolina Family Policy Council. Join us weekly for discussion on policy issues affecting the family. If you have questions or comments, please contact us at 919-807-0800 or visit our website at ncfamily.org.